Api also avadhyayatha, you hold in contempt. Asma of swiss, perhaps akritajna, as being ungrateful. Avisankhaya, with the suspicion. Nunam, indeed. Bhutani, living beings. Bhagavan, Supreme Lord. Yunakti, bones. Viyunakti, separate. Cha, and. Translation. Do you perhaps think I am ungrateful and thus hold me in contempt? After all, it is the Supreme Lord who brings living beings together and then separates them. Translation and purport by A.C. Sivakirtana Swami Prabhupada, T. Chaya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reveals the gopis' thoughts. We are not like you, who with your heart shattered by remembering this day and night, gave up all sense enjoyment in a distress of separation. Rather, we have not remembered you at all. In fact, we have been quite happy without you. In response, Krishna here asks whether the resent is in great youth. Om Anjanatana Dhatanjanamina Svati Chakravarti Supreme. Verse where Krishna is actually meeting the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and after meeting the others, now he is meeting the gopis, and then he is taking them to a secluded place, and then he is having a chat with them. Before we understand further about this relationship and this particular discussion, we have to remember that this discussion is taking place, this meeting place is in Kurukshetra. So Kurukshetra is a very holy place, and the great battle, Mahabharata, the battle took place at Kurukshetra. Now, why did the battle take place in Kurukshetra? It is a holy place, it is a neutral place for both sides, the Pandavas and the Kauravas. It was suggested by a neutral party, but very, very gladly accepted by Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, because it's a holy place. They thought, the Pandavas are very religious people, sentimentalist. We religious people always call sentimental people, you know, believing all kinds of funny things that like we do, you know, jumping around, and eating bird food, and dressing up like gypsies, and you know, we do all kinds of funny things. So because we are very sentimental, we are sentimental buffoons, as people call it, you know. But there is a deep philosophy in whatever we do. Now coming back here, so Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana thought, look, these people are very sentimental fellows. They come to a religious place, and what will happen? They will give up fighting. What's the use of fighting, you know? What's the use of killing, you know, this religious place? So they will just give up the fight and they will go away and we can have the kingdom. So that was the plan that Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra had in mind. And it almost happened. Because as you know, in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is already saying, I don't want to fight. What's the use of fighting? What's the use of killing these people? If I kill these people, now their wives will become widows, and women are left alone, and you know, people will, you know, all kinds of things will happen. Varna Shankara, unwanted population will be created, and he is giving so many moral, social, whatever reasons, saying that he will not fight, he will not kill. So it almost happened, but it did not happen because of the intervention of Krishna. Krishna stopped it and then gave him the Bhagavad Gita, after which the whole thing took place. Now, why did Krishna intervene? Of course, Krishna intervened because he wanted to give knowledge, he wanted to give Bhagavad Gita to the whole world, to the universe. And not only that, because he wanted to establish Dharma. So he has to establish dharma. Adharma is going on here. So he, because in order to establish dharma, he actually, he gave his knowledge at the battlefield. Now though Arjuna appeared to be confused,
you must understand Arjuna is not an ordinary person. Even in this birth as Arjuna is, he was a very, very powerful personality.
And it's just that he appeared to be confused because he was also had to play this role where Krishna will give the Bhagavad Gita. Now let's not go into deep into that, then we'll forget what we are supposed to be saying today. So enough will be known that he appeared to be confused. Even in confusion, there is good confusion and bad confusion. Good confusion is, you know, when you come to the temple and if you don't know what to do, there is good confusion. Bad confusion is, you know, you go into the pub and you know you don't even know where the toilet is and where the thing is. That is bad confusion. So confusion is not the same. Sometimes devotee will be confused, but it's good. Because he's a devotee. So he is allowed to be confused. Now, back to what we are trying to say. Basically what's happening is Krishna is imparting knowledge. What is this knowledge? Knowledge to understand his constitutional position. He says, Bhaktasini Sakacheti, you are not only my devotee, you are also my friend. But at that juncture, he has forgotten both. Arjuna has forgotten that he is a friend, he has also forgotten that he is a devotee. And he is just forgetting everything and says, look at all these people, I can't kill them. My teachers, my relatives. And even if I kill them, how do you enjoy? All these people are gone, how can you enjoy? Even if you want to enjoy, you know, you have to have people around. Supposing you buy, you buy a beautiful sari, Mother Jesus, a beautiful sari, and then they decorate nicely and come to the temple and nobody is in the temple. And what do? I mean, there's no fun in it. If you have 50 people coming, oh, beautiful sari, where did you get this? And you know, then only the whole fun starts. So similarly, if Arjuna gets all this property and then there's nobody around to enjoy it, and what's the fun? So that was his logical argument. No, that's all right. But you have to understand that when you talk about Kurukshetra, a lot of people give a lot of explanations, especially Maoists. They say Kurukshetra is the body. They're very famous for this. Kurukshetra is the body. The five Pandavas are the five senses. So we can tolerate that to a certain extent. Saying Kurukshetra is the body, alright, we allow that. The next thing they say, the five Pandavas are the five senses, alright, we'll allow that. Next thing they say, Krishna is intelligence. Now this becomes shaky because Krishna is not intelligent. Krishna is Supreme Personality of God. Now by saying Kurukshetra is the body, they deny the existence of Kurukshetra. By saying the five senses, Pandavas are five senses, they deny the existence of Pandavas, which also we can to an extent tolerate. But when they say Krishna is intelligence, that means they are denying the existence of Krishna, which we cannot tolerate, which we shouldn't tolerate. That's impossible. Because there was Krishna, there was Arjuna, you can buy a ticket, even now you can go to Delhi and you can buy a ticket to Kurukshetra, you can go to that place, you can see all the remnants of whatever Vedic civilization, it's all there. It is not that Kurukshetra is this body and the five senses of Pandavas, not allegoric. This is not allegoric. In the Vedas, whatever it is, always it is mentioned. What is allegoric and what is not allegoric is mentioned there. So we can't use, for simply we cannot take everything and say everything. We cannot do that. For instance, the front page, we see the four horses, Krishna and Arjuna. That is not the chariot, that is not the five. No, that's not the one. That is another one. We have to be very careful. Anyway, let's not go there. Now, that is something that goes on all the time in India, this kind of explanation. They will tell you what is the deeper meaning. And this deeper meaning is where you get swallowed and you commit it. And you commit spiritual suicide. And you can see some of them, you know, I've been, when my younger days, 30 years ago, when I was very interested in the Bhagavad Gita, I was in a South Indian city called Coimbatore. And then there was, I saw Bhagavad Gita discourse, and I was so excited. And I said, I'm going for it. And I went for this, and there was this person, I saw Vishwaroop. It's a school hall,
not a school grounds. You know, the Pandal program is the grounds, not in the hall. The whole place was packed. There's a big stage, and there is a huge visual of the person who's delivering the lecture. His name is Chinmayananda. It was huge. And then on the stage, there was a small light, and there was a small deity of Krishna. So that itself, I was shocked. I said, what is this? You have to use your, you know, telescope to see Krishna. And this guy is, this is the sky. And that was not bad. That was all right. I said, I'll tolerate this. The next thing was, in his discourse, he says, the Gita Acharya, this is the word, the Gita Acharya is misleading us. He uses the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, and he dares to say that Krishna is misleading, and he is giving his own explanation. And his mind is, you know, they, it's very difficult to have to do, you know, you can't do anything. If you tell them, why are you using Krishna's Bhagavad Gita? Why don't you use your own Bhagavad Gita? No, he's already spoken. If he had not spoken, if I had taken birth earlier, I would have spoken the Bhagavad Gita. That's what they will say. So they are so, it's alright to be confused. I mean, we got no cause. You know, you want to be confused? That's alright. Fair. But the Mayavadi makes it his goal of life to confuse others. Go up to the stage and say all this. Krishna means black. Black means nothing. Nothing means something. Something means this. They go on like that and confusing everything. And that's why Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita, ascetic. Now, talking about this Maoist, I'm sure Prabhupada will be very happy. You know, whenever he spoke, he always smashed Maoist. So, my understanding is, you have to smash a Maoist. It doesn't matter if it's on the, if it's being recorded, you have to smash a Maoist. You have to teach an atheist the existence of God. Lot of atheists walking around. He must tell, no, that is God. And also tell the scientists that consciousness is not a product of the body, matter, but rather is a product of the soul. Now coming back, those days we used to have many stories about Mayavadi theories, So there's one such story which I thought I'll tell you. That is called the rascal veterinary. Veterinary means the animal doctor. So there was this great animal doctor who was going around treating animals, and he had an assistant. This assistant was a bit ambitious also, but more than ambitious, was very envious, so he was following the teacher very closely, and he used to carry all his instruments to the doctor. So one particular instance, there was this horse which was gagging, and there was a huge swelling in the neck, and so he asked for the instrument. And he said, give me the mallet, the wooden hammer. And so the assistant gave him, and then, you know, this guy, the doctor, was hitting it on both sides of the neck. And then subsequently the swelling went down. Much later, of course, the owners of the horse were very happy, and the horse was happy, of course, and the owners were even more happy. So everything became a happy situation. Much later, the junior doctor decided to go on his own. And he branched off and he went on his own. But then what was happening was whichever animal he was treating was dying. So every day he goes to the colony and the animal was dying, just the other way around. So the news reached the senior doctor and he was wondering what's happening here. And so one day they meet each other and then the confrontation takes place. So he asked him, what's happening? No, I'm just doing what he did. So what are you doing? I said, when I see the animal, take the hammer and whack them on the neck. So he said, you fool, that was a specific instance where that hog had swallowed a watermelon and it stuck in the throat, and I had to tap on the side so that it could break and go into pieces, you know. So similarly, Mayavadi, they'll take some aspect of something somewhere and then you'll use it for their own reasons, for so many purposes. So, now back to basically the whole thing is knowledge, whatever, whether it's Bhagavad Gita, whether it's Srimad Bhagavad, we all sit here to get knowledge. So, knowledge, how do you impart knowledge? Knowledge means inquiry. You can't give a person knowledge who is not going to inquire. Inquiry means, of course, you've got so many things to inquire. But, Mahaprabhu says the two most important things that we have to inquire. Firstly, why is the soul suffering? Especially Mayavadis will say, Atman and Brahman are one. The soul and God is one, so we are God. If that is so, why are we suffering? First question, why is the soul suffering? Second question is, what is the goal of life? Every one of us has a goal of life. Some people like to go to India and remain there. People from India like to come to Australia and get a PR, or go to America to get the green card. These are all goals of life. Thinking this is more happiness and that is more happiness. And Prabhu just told me that he didn't feel like coming back from India. That is spiritual happiness. That is different. But goal of life, everybody has. You know, Westerners go to Tibet thinking that once I become a monk, my problem is solved. When they go there, they find that China is controlling it. And then they get worked in, oh, this is controlled by China. Now I must fight against China to get back to Tibet. So all this goes on. The goal of, so we won't go into the details, we just have to know that two things we have to inquire about. Inquiry is about why the soul is suffering. And secondly, what is the goal of life? We never inquired before, as animals, basically. Animals act by instinct. Animals, when they're hungry, they eat. And after eating, they're satisfied. Then their sexual desire, they mate. And after mating, they feel tired, they go to sleep. And after sleeping or while sleeping, if they feel threatened, then they fight. Eating, mating, sleeping, depending. So these are the four things that the animal does. Now, we have done all that before. But once you take the human birth, and we still do only these four things, then there is no meaning to life. That's why we need knowledge. Otherwise, you'll be doing all these four things, and you'll be thinking you're very happy about it. But with this knowledge, you will understand that you're more than the body, and then you'll understand why you're suffering, and then you'll understand what is the real goal of life. But most importantly, knowledge means understanding your constitutional position. We have to understand who we really are. Once you have understood your constitutional position, then everything else will fall in place. So, but generally people ask questions. Of course people will ask questions. They'll ask like, why Rama killed Bali, you know, he was hiding. In Ramayana, Sugriva and Bali, they're fighting. And Rama hides behind and kills Bali. So they ask, why Rama killed like this? And why Krishna is stealing all the clothes of the gopis? Very immoral, you know, how can I never do that, why he is doing all this? The difference is, if you do, you get a slap. He does and everybody enjoys it. Like that, there are a lot of why Draupadi has got five husbands. And that's not nice. I got three wives, that's okay, but you know, that is okay. But you know, one wife cannot have five husbands, you know, that is not right. And why Krishna this, why Krishna that, they go on. That is not real enquiry. Real enquiry should be, who am I, where I am coming from, where I am going, why am I suffering. That's real inquiry. So now that you know, now I think you all would agree, oh yes, knowledge is very important. Wisdom is important. So we need to have wisdom. So what do? We come for classes. Okay, we'll go and sit down in classes. We'll go for the cruise. We will listen to knowledge. Wisdom delivered is not wisdom received. You have to understand, just because you are seated here does not mean you will receive. You can understand. Of course, something will go in. The Vedic concept is wisdom delivered is not wisdom. So what is the criteria? The criteria is purification of senses. That is the criteria. You have to purify your senses. When you purify the senses, then how do you purify this? What is the process of purification? It's control of the senses. You purify it. See, mind control and sense control works together. Supposing if you tell a person who's eating meat, become a vegetarian, it's not easy. So he has to have sense control too. To control his senses, he needs mind control. That's why we tell him, okay, you chant. You don't do anything else. Just add chanting in your life. Don't do anything else. So when you start chanting, then the mind will help you to control your senses. So that is the process. And then, you have to ultimately engage in devotional service. When that really purifies the senses. Because Seva Mukhe Jiva Rao, unless you engage yourself in devotional service, you can never get this thing under control. So most importantly, as we sing in the morning, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chite Se Koriya Aikya, we say. That means the words emanating from his lotus mouth. That means the teachings of the Guru, Chite Se Koriya Aikya, which means those teachings should be one with my consciousness. You have to accept your Guru's teachings into your own consciousness, make it your consciousness. Then, only then this wisdom will be revealed to you. That is the process. Otherwise, you are not doing the thing properly. So what happens is, when you hear, lots of people hear, but they hear, but they have not received it. Like sometimes, you know, in the early stage, like I go for a class and I get excited, oh, it was fantastic. So funny, what happened? I said, I went to the Bhagavad Gita class, it was fantastic. Really, what happened? Oh, the Bhagavad Gita, yeah, what did they say? No, Krishna, but yeah, but what? But you loved it, but you can't. You have loved it, but you can't come out with it. It is good, but you know, you have heard, but you have not received it. So hearing is first, receiving is second, then utilization. Now, having got this knowledge, you know how to utilize it. You become a little pakka now. Now you can adapt this knowledge and utilize, not for your own purpose. You can use for your own purpose, definitely. Even materially you become very successful. But we try to avoid that. We want to do it spiritually. We want to do things for Krishna. So hearing, receiving, utilization, and finally accomplishment. Because, and all this happens because you have made your Guru's teachings into your own consciousness. And you have to be smart in adapting. And when that happens, of course, you are empowered. Then when your Guru will call you like this, you see that boat there, you buy it. You see that building there, you buy it. So that is empowered. You have to come to that stage. Now to achieve all this, what is important? Is it the personal ability? Is it the individual ability? Is it that only that person can do it and that person cannot do it? No. That is not the Vedic concept. The Vedic concept is not that some people have got this ability and some people do not have it. No. You follow the system. If you follow the system very, very nicely, then every one of us will be enabled. We get the ability. The ability is by listening to the instructions of the spiritual master. That's how you will get the... So, what is the purpose of the spiritual master, as Prabhupada explains, he is the wire medium. He is the wire medium between you and Krishna. So, because of the wire medium, it's like once you have gone and taken instructions and you have surrendered to the Guru, you are already ensured of going to Krishna. It's like you want to go to, say, you want to go to Calcutta and you have bought a ticket. You can choose, you know, whether it's Viman or Qantas or Air India, Indian Airlines, whatever. The minute you purchase your ticket, that means you are ensured to go to Calcutta. Definitely. Now first class, economy, don't worry. Whether it's a toilet seat or whether it's a whatever seat, you have bought the ticket, of course you can go. Definitely you will go. They will take you. Don't worry. Maybe one or two planes might crash, but hope your plane doesn't crash. But you have got a job to do. What is the job? Just like a ticket, you got your passport, you got your visa, you got a taxi, you go to the airport. You can't say, I got my ticket, I'm going to Calcutta, and you go round and round in your house, you can't reach Calcutta. There are certain things that you have to do. And of course, the worst thing is, you know, people you know, who want to go to Calcutta, but they're fighting in the, you know, they're fighting with the taxi wala, and they're fighting in the airport, or, you know, you're wasting all this time. That's what's happening. Most of us devotees, we get into all the silly things, and we're wasting our time. The point is, the focus must be going back to the spiritual world, going to Krishna. Once you've accepted the spiritual master, is you've already got a problem. This is explained by Prabhupada himself. But what's happening these days, devotees, Of course, the system is you also must know your guru. But you can't go on doing like a litmus test on you, guru testing. You can't dip him, you know, see. You know, like you can't look at him and say, I know, he's so cute. I like to take my initiative. No, it's not like that. It's you don't decide externally whether this guy is cute or that guy is cute. That's not the system. Firstly, you have got no qualification to test a guru. You have to understand that we have no qualification. It is only that your mood of service, you can think a little bit, but you know, about how you can serve that person. That should be a goal. Prabhupada says, you have to be good. Then only the guru can really make you good. And he compares this, he says, like the blacksmith. You take bad iron, and you go and give the guru. Those days, what happens is, you won't do anything done. They take the iron and must go and give the blacksmith. Like, you know, those days, gold. You want to make ornaments, you take the gold, and you go and give to the what you call, goldsmith. And then he will do whatever you want. I want this, I want this, I want like this, and he will do for you. So Prabhupada says, if the iron is bad, you take the iron and tell the blacksmith, make me an iron. The knife will be bad. So if you have got problems, and then you go and take an initiation, then you'll always have problems. It's your problem, it's not the guru's problem. So we always have to perfect ourselves, we have to understand. Once we have understood this whole thing about receiving, like hearing, receiving, utilizing and accomplishing, then those things will happen. Those things that happened 34 years ago, where we used to buy hotels, we used to buy farms, we used to buy, you know, name it, everything. Devotees were doing all kinds of things. Why is that not happening anymore? All the temples are bankrupt. There's no money. Most of the temples are bankrupt. Struggling. There's something wrong somewhere. But nobody seems to care. Anyway, but that is something. But the system says, if you do it properly, it will happen. It should happen again. So, today's verse here, Krishna says, he's telling, you know, the early verse, he says, my dear girlfriends. He addresses the gopis here. My dear girlfriends. That's sweet, isn't it? Krishna, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, and telling my dear girlfriends. That's fantastic. It's not our Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread. I mean, no offense, I'm just saying, but this is very sweet, you know. God saying my girlfriends. So, and then he says, do you remember me? Because he went off when he's coming back. Do you remember me? Are you angry with me? And they are feigning, you know. They say, we don't care for you. That's what they are, you know. We never care for you. You know, that's what they are trying to say. Though Krishna starts off like this, saying my dear girlfriends and all that, and then the next few verses, he establishes irrevocably that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we look at evidences, like we look at evidences to say Krishna is God, there is fantastic evidence there, that he is not only God, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The next few verses, when the discussion of the gopis, that thing is revealed. Because why he's revealing? Because he's telling them, because they know the constitution. They are in such a mood, you know, gopis, in such a mood. But still he's assuring them, don't worry, you know. Though they don't consider me like God, but don't worry, you know, you're in the right place, everything is fine. That's his way of telling. He's revealing the constitution. Now the gopis, sometimes, you know, Krishna, of course, Krishna has got wives, talking about girlfriends, he's got wives. He's got queens and he's got girlfriends. Now you can't become his wife and you can't become his queen. The only thing Mataji can try to become is his girlfriend. So you have to understand that you can try to become his girlfriend. That is trying, not at this stage, he won't smell us. But that is the only position where we can try.
Maid servant.
Yeah. We'll come to that. Question time too. Now, what I'm trying to say is that even today, I mean, even now, we have people, you know, saying that, oh, I'm rather. That is bogus. To say, I am Radharani is bogus. That's not Vaishnava philosophy. That's Maya philosophy. It's very clear. Vaishnava philosophy is simple. Like Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is very simple. Simple for the simple-minded, complicated for the complicated. It's very simple. Krishna, Prabhupada says, I am not God, you are not God. We are all servants of God. So what is the conclusion? We are all eternal. We are eternal souls. We can't become somebody. He's already there. We can't take Radharani's position. He's already there. These positions are not vacant. All this has been taken up. You have to understand. So we can't claim like that. That, you know, this is so. No, I am Radharani. I mean, people claim. So, and you have to be very careful there. Now, understanding more about this gopi. Of course, we know Krishna, there's Radharani. And then the Ashtasakis, the 8 gopis who are very close to Radharani and assisting them, they are known as the Paramapreshtasakis. They are very, very close, of course, Induleka and the whole, you know. And they are most dear friends of Radharani, and sometimes they themselves can engage in very, very loving pastimes with Krishna. Now, next to the 8 gopis, we have another 64, and they are known as the Priyasakis. These 8 of them, each one of the Ashtasakis will have 8 to assist them, the maid servants, they assisting. And then finally you have what is known as the Pranasakis or the Nityasakis. Now they are usually, they are very young, they are known as the Manjaris. They are the young gopis who have love for Radharani as a girl. They don't look at Krishna as their lover. For them, all they do is just serve Radharani, and when Krishna and Radharani are together, they do everything for them to make sure that they are comfortable. And they are very like innocent. They enjoy the pastime. They are happy seeing both of them together. But they never think about becoming Krishna's conjugal lover and stuff. Anyway, I don't want to talk too much about these things because these things are very, very difficult to understand and might. But just to make a mention that the gopis are different levels, and these particular gopis, that's Manjari, that is known as Manjari Bhava. And so in the relationship, that is Swakiya and Parakiya. Swakiya means that is what is known as in marriage, that means legal. His wife and queens, they were all like Swakiya. They were married to him, so his relationship. Parakiya means Parama, which means it's like a little bit like in our context like illicit, but that's not the right word. So people actually complain, how can these gopis like their husbands and come and all that. But all this you have to understand that they're all Sakis, they are all his eternal, his possession, they're all his expansions. And so they are rightly coming to him, and it's not that. So what we have to understand, okay, that's all a bit deeper, but what we have to understand is that all the gopis they had, though we're talking about Madhurya Rasa, the conjugal relationship, you have to understand that they have all the 5 relationships. That means they have Shanta, they have Dasya, they have Takya, they have Vatsalya, and they have Madhurya. It is not that. Always the one relationship high has the other one. Neutral doesn't have anything. Dasya will have neutral and Dasya. Sakya will have neutral, Dasya and Sakya. Vatsalya will have neutral and Madhurya will have all 5. You have to understand that. That's why they can be anything. You know, they can be neutral, they can become servants. You know, not like us. You know, we already, oh, I'm senior Prabhu, I won't do this, that's not my job, that is for somebody else. And junior's job and senior's job, and but the gopis were never thinking of that. Now, in view of all this, this is the the gopis' love for Krishna was so great. So sometimes you would like to know how all this, what happened to all these people finally, Nanda Baba and Radharani and all the gopis, and Krishna went to Dwaraka. These people were there. What happened to them? Did all of them become old, even to have dental problems and the hearing problems, looking for ENT doctors and all kinds of things? What happened to them, all these people? So,
To conclude, I just like to say, this is a story that I heard in Vrindavan itself. So, once what happens is, Nanda Baba approaches Krishna and says, you know, let's go to a blissful place. We'll go to a blissful place. You know, it's like, you know, some people saying, let's go for a picnic, something like that. So, and Krishna thought about it for a while, and then he said, now that he asked me, I remember, Sandipani Muni actually gave me
benediction,
that's right. He says, whenever I want to go anywhere, I can just think about it and we can fly there, we can actually go there. So he said, this benediction has been given to me before. So I said, okay, let's use it now, let's go someplace. So he brought his chariot and he invited all the residents of Vrindavan. So this chariot, of course, is a spiritual chariot. Just like Sudama, not Sudama the person, the palace hall, not the palace hall, the court in Dwaraka is known as Sudama. That court, if that particular day only 10 people are in the court, and then what happens is the court becomes small, be nice for 10 people, and thousands of people come, the court becomes big so that it can accommodate 1,000 people comfortably. So this is the spiritual potential. So similarly, his chariot, as more people started coming, and more people started coming, and the chariot was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the whole of Vrindavan, all of them got into the chariot. And then he said, okay, let's go for a drive. And they went for a drive. From where did they go? From Goloka Vrindavan to Goloka Vrindavan. So all of them went, he took them there, and then all of them got out of the chariot. Everybody went to the houses, went to tend their cows. They didn't know. Their love for the thing was so pure that only Krishna. They just went from one destination to another destination without any knowledge. That was a beautiful story. It's sometimes, you know, like, you know, children will fight, you know, like, go to the beach, go to the beach, the small ones, and say, I am also want to go to the beach. And then we put all of them in the car. By the time we drive to the beach, it's sleeping and sleeping and sleeping and sleeping. Gone to the beach, come back home, it's still sleeping. When you park the car, there's just one little one gets up, where's the beach? So here is different in the sense, they did not realize it, but here they. That unrealization is the time, non-realization, what happened. So similarly, they just went back to Godhead and then they didn't even know that they're back home, back to Godhead. Alright, thank you very much. If there's any comments or questions.
The position of the six Goswamis, are they all Manjuris?
I know that, I don't know whether, it's possible, but I know like Rupa, I found study this as a Manjari. And, but generally they should be, they would be, but I can't say for sure that they're all Manjuris, yeah, probably. I really don't study too much about that because I think, you know, we have already gone on a tangent. People want to do this Raghunuga Bhakti and want to stay in Radhakun, Ashtakaliya Leela. They want to know what Krishna does the whole 24 hours and they want to follow that. And then, you know, you don't even know basic things. And so I try to avoid it. I don't want to read it. Anyway, that's what I was told not to do it.
I'm just wondering how you get so much time to read it.
No, I'm not saying that. This is interesting. Like I said, it's, nothing is more exciting in life than spiritual life.
Must be your hobby.
It's my life, Prabhu. It's not my hobby. My hobby is my work. It's my life.